Growing up in Port-au-Prince in Haiti, it's a small little town. If you're in Haiti, you would consider that rural, so, you know, far from the capital. Every Sunday, we would go out to the beach. The open air market there, that's where you go to purchase the groceries. My duty at night was to go to the boulangerie, which is the bakery, to buy bread for supper. There was always a little piece in the bread that was missing when I would bring it back home. Most of the neighbors that we had around us, you know, they looked out for each other. We may be outside playing in the street because there were barely any cars. They would make sure that we were not causing any mischief. They would discipline us, you know. You could have gotten beaten twice if our parents know, but we would get disciplined again by our parents. In the summertime, when you are flying kites, a lot of times you see several kites in the air. One of the things that you have to be careful is they would put Gillette razor blades in the tail end of the kite. So what that would do, it would cut your line of your own kite, and that's how you end up losing it. And that's a battle between different neighborhoods. It is amazing. When you see some kites that are coming closer to yours, if you don't have the same type of razor at the tail end of your kite, you just want to make sure you pull it down, otherwise you're going to lose your kite there. There was unrest within the town of Port-au-Prince. With the departure of Duvalier, people were ransacking nicely maintained houses that they thought were the ones profiting from the Duvalier regime. We were among them. Our house was ransacked. We were able to hear they were coming. We went across to the neighbor's house and then we hid till sundown. It's a jarring thing, you know, hearing somebody coming basically to kill you, knowing that there are other people that have lost their lives. To this day, it is vivid. We can hear them until they were done. That's when in the night we were able to drive to the capital, Port-au-Prince. It was closed setting. We didn't venture outside the house. Outside contact compared to when we were in Port-au-Prince, that freedom of, you know, everybody knows everybody, and that wasn't there. There were these brick walls, 6 to 7 feet, and on top of the brick walls, they would create a little mound with the cement. And within the cement, they would place broken glass. So that way, no one can grab the top of the wall in order to jump and scale the wall to get into the housing. We had a swimming pool in the back. And in the front yard, that's where we would play badminton and sometimes play soccer. It could simply be three houses down, and then you have people that are desperate, living in complete poverty. You want to maintain some privacy, also you just want to shield people from seeing how you are living. Those brick walls is able to do that. But by shielding yourself, you would deny yourself the truth of knowing that, you know, there's someone else further down that is really in desperate situation. My dad had to leave Haiti, fleeing for his life. After the departure of the Duvaliers, there were countless of political parties. Everybody thought they had a solution for the country, and my dad, when he was with the magazine, he was expressing his opinion, so thought, okay, that he could run the country. My father ran for the presidency of Haiti, and eventually lost. You had former Duvalier members who were coming back to Haiti, wanting to get back into power. My dad had known some of them. They had orchestrated a coup, an attempt into the government to take power, but the coup was not successful. My dad was accused of being part of that group. the people that attempted the coup actually died because members of the military killed them on the presidential ground. So my dad had to flee for his life to the United States. We stayed behind in Haiti after my dad had left. At the time, there was a new regime. Jean-Bertrand Aristide coming into power. He was clearing out his political opponent one way or the other. My dad was still riding. If they couldn't get to him here in the state, the next access to him was to his children. So that's why we had to leave Haiti. When I arrived to the state, at that time, that's when I'm really living under the same roof with my dad. I had very few friends because I didn't speak English. We had English as a secondary language class, but it was fairly limited, you know, trying to get you start with the basic. So imagine you don't speak English, you're reading Shakespeare in an English class. That was completely lost. I had to sit down a good 5 hours after school with homework, a French and English dictionary to read it and to look up the words that I didn't understand in order for me to understand the homework. Whatever we would read in class, then I would go back home with all the books. You know, you have lockers where you leave your books. I would carry all the books in my backpack. It was insanely heavy. I must say I had to remove myself from my homeland in order to really look at it from a different perspective. This is what being in privileged society is like.